The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and you. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Good morning again, John.
We've had a wonderful, wonderful segment. We'll chat a little bit about it later on. But right now, I want to get to Viviana Russell. And it's a long introduction for Viviana, so we don't have that much time. I want to get right to the chase because she did a wonderful interview in reference to Black History Month, but which we're going to talk about. But Viviana is a North Hempstead councilwoman, and I am very honored to say that Viviana is our candidate and will be our next town clerk, which that in and of itself, she's not on the radio for that. I'm saying that, not a political show, but the convention was last week. Viviana was unanimously approved. It's a wonderful opportunity, not only for Viviana, but for the town, for women, for everybody. So I'm not into this man and woman thing. We're all people. We're all here together. But nevertheless, it's just my honor to introduce our next town clerk, our current councilwoman, but bottom line, a friend. That's it. We'll just go with my friend, Viviana. Good morning, Viviana. How are you?
Thanks so much for having me on this morning. It is my pleasure and, of course, my honor. And thank you so much for that shout out.
Well, yeah, you know what? It's the first shout out you're going to be getting. You're going to be getting many of them. You're going to be a busy lady, but it'll all be good.
This is my first public shout out, so thank you.
Oh, it's the first public shout out. Good for you. I'm being obnoxious. There's nobody to shout out better than me, so we're good. So anyway, I saw your interview, and I just want to, you know, I wanted to have you on today to talk about Black History Month, the importance of this, and, you know, and not only are you a political figure in the town of North Hempstead, you're a mother and a grandmother, and so therefore, every day you have to instill a certain thing in your children. We all do. And that's where really, really where I want to come from. The more we know, the more we learn, the better we are together. And Otto and I talk about this all the time. But I'm not stealing your thunder.
That's okay. Quite all right.
Tell me the importance of Black History Month to you.
So for me, Black History, you know, it falls much outside of just the month of February. And so Black history is my history. It's the history of this country. It's the history of so many people. And oftentimes it's relegated to just the month of February. And I'm looking forward to a point where we're just celebrating just history in general, where the lives and the contributions of Black people are incorporated into that history in a true and factual way. And so for me, it means celebrating my culture. It means celebrating my ancestry, the legacies of the people that have come before me, recognizing and acknowledging, you know, the greatness that lies within. It's just a part of who I am. It's a part of, you know, my everyday life. The Black history is every day for me. I can tell you that, you know, my family history here in America has been great. You know, my aunt, and I love to talk about my aunt. She's one of my favorites because all of my aunts, I love them dearly. But my aunt, Maria Parada, Aunt Beba is what we called her, was a civil rights activist. You know, she was really, really phenomenal. She, you know, did a lot of work up in the Harlem area, along with Malcolm X and, you know, Alton Maddox and Al Sharpton and, you know, some of those that are still around and those that have come before. She was raised as a Seventh-day Adventist, later converted to being a Muslim, Nation of Islam. She taught herself Hebrew and Arabic. And before she died, she was teaching herself Chinese and Spanish is native language. Our family is from Cuba. She was originally born in Antigua, and then my family, my grandmother and family migrated to Cuba, where the rest of my aunts and uncles were born. And I still have a lot of family in Cuba now. And so, you know, the history is just so great, from Antigua to Cuba and a little bit to the Dominican Republic and Santo Domingo and in here to the United States. And so it's just so vast and so great. And my aunt, you know, we were very, very close. And, you know, just a lot of things that she instilled in me. And then I recently lost another aunt of mine a couple of weeks ago. And it was devastating because her and I were very, very close. But, you know, these were like women in my lives, Black women that were in my life, that was so instrumental in being tenacious and, you know, not being the quiet woman in the room. And so as in Black History Month and we're embarking on Women's History Month, you know, I just wanted to pay homage to them and just mention them. So my Aunt B, or Aunt Beatriz, as we call them, my Aunt Beba, they created a legacy inside of me as a Black woman, as well as my mom. It's, you know, it's just overwhelming at times, and I don't want to start crying here, but, you know, Black history to me just means so much because there's so much greatness that lies within us all. And to be able to celebrate that, you know, on the heels of what we are dealing with here in America right now, you know, the social injustice, the pandemic, and how, you know, the Black family and Black communities have been devastated in alarming numbers that far outweigh any other culture or class of people. You know, there's a lot to celebrate and there's a lot of work that still needs to be done. And it was a mouthful, but.
No, you know, I'm listening to every word you're saying. And from a family perspective, you got a great family there. But the thing that really hit me is, you know, I'm sure some people think this is so good to have a Black History Month, but you're right. And because to have a Black History Month meant we weren't paying attention. It shouldn't be a month, it should be every day, and there shouldn't be Black History Month anymore because we needed to recognize, and if you were recognized, we wouldn't need it. And so it's absolutely very conflictual. You know, obviously, you know him very well, Robert Troiano. And I remember like 2 years ago, I had a conversation with Robert a couple of years ago. I was 15 years old, the first time I met a Black person. I was 15. Wow. And it was in high school. And I was a sophomore in high school. And this boy transferred in. And on top of it being the first time I met a Black person, and I give him, at the time, he didn't pay attention. He was a nice guy and everything else. Looking back, he was the only Black person in the school. I was like, wow. There was no prejudice. You know, honestly, everybody got along with the guy. There was no, I suppose, because I don't mean we were simple. He was a nice guy. I was a nice guy. And that was the end of it. When I look back, and I remember telling Robert the story, I said, the pain that poor kid, you know, like feeling outcast, and maybe he didn't, I have no idea, but it's a terrible place where we are in general, that, you know, the injustice, and yet it's still a constant fight for your rights. And I mean that sincerely. I think you're a wonderful woman, but that's not the point. It's a constant fight with something happens to you, and Christina's on the show with us, and, you know, it's, she's going to get attention first, which is terrible. You know,
First of all, Vivian, you don't know me, I don't think. I'm a volunteer with Project Independence. And we were on a show together April the 5th, 2019, with you, Judy, Bernice Sims, Allen Ginsberg, talking about the civil rights documentary. And to me, that was one of the best shows. I've been involved now about 9 years with this, and that was one of the best shows. And to me, what was great about it, and even what we're doing right now, is I believe open dialogue is required to help break this thing down. I'm a little bit different than John in my background, in that I was exposed very early. I went to high school with Franklin K. Lane High School on the borderline of Brooklyn and Queens. We had a large number of Black people in the 50s. And I never, it was even not in my head that there was an issue. I never heard anything at home. And to me, it was like, so, you know, so we had black people in the class. And then I was in the Navy. And the fact that I was in from New York in the 50s in Florida and Cuba, I learned that a lot of people didn't think like me. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm down in Jacksonville, Florida, all of a sudden, a native New Yorker. And these things never were on my in my my thinking. And all of a sudden, I hear people talking stupid down there who were in the Navy and, you know, coming from the South at that particular time. So it's, you know, it's so much of it is how you're get brainwashed as a kid, if you will. And we, I think we hopefully can work on, I don't think it'll ever be perfect because people are people. And
people are not perfect.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, people always have seem to have some people have a need to make themselves feel stronger by pushing somebody else down. Yeah. And, you know, and I believe that's part of the equation. So they look mm-hmm. for any excuse. And, you know, it's complicated.
It is. It is. But you're absolutely right. You know, having these dialogues is what's going to help break down the barriers and, you know, create and foster better relationships. Because that's what it's really about, you know, having relationships and finding the commonalities as opposed to looking at the differences. You know, we all have a lot of things in common, so much more than we have that are apart. So what if our color of our skin is a little bit different, but our blood is still the same color? You know, we all bleed red, you know, as it, you know, blood hits the air, it's red. So it doesn't matter what color the skin is on the outside. And so people can look beyond just the color of your skin and look at the person, you know, who they are, the characters and of the person and integrity and the morals of the person that they're dealing with, then that's what makes a difference. It shouldn't matter. Like when you see me, you see a black woman first before I even open my mouth. And so sometimes there's judgments that are made just because of the color of my skin. You know, I get all the time and my husband, you know, we kind of laugh about it all the time because people would say to him like, oh my God, like your wife, she speaks so well. And he was very offended by it. And so he said to me, if this person says that to me one more time, I'm going to lose it. He's like, you know, and so people say things subconsciously and don't realize how offensive they are. Like, why would you point out, would you say that about someone else? Like, as if you came in with the notion or with the expectation of something different. And so, you know, just it's sometimes it's just the little things. It may not be something on a grand scale, but the little things. And we all do, you know, we all have our own, you know, our own biases in certain ways. But those kind of little things are the little things that people don't even realize how offensive they are. And so having these conversations is very helpful.
I agree with you. It's the little things that people don't pay attention to that can really cut you right into your heart and you walk away saying, what just happened there? Unfortunately, we have to take a break. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back with Juliana Russell.